This is an Eye on Annapolis bonus podcast.
Well, it is election season, whether we like it or not. And today we are sitting down with Amanda Subarau, who is the president of the League of Women Voters of Anne Arundel County, which is the most important organization that is not on the ballot this year, which I guess is probably a good thing. We wanted to talk about the elections that are coming up here because this election, as all of them are, is a very important one. And the best elections in the world are the ones where the people that are casting the votes know what they're casting their votes about. And I think that's what the League of Women Voters of Anne Arundel County does, right?
Yes, indeed it is.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me here at Starbucks on a beautiful sunny Wednesday day, I guess it is. So I know you guys from being at the Peka House on the 4th of July, which is my favorite place to be on the 4th of July. Totally off topic. If anybody has never been, go there. They do have a ceremony to welcome new citizens to the United States, and they take the they swear the allegiance to the country and everything else. And it's just an absolutely heartwarming, emotional, awesome way to kick off Independence Day. They do it every year. And every year you guys are out there recruiting people to register to vote and to learn a little bit about the league. So tell me about the league here in Anne Arundel County.
Well, we're actually celebrating our 80th birthday.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yes, for the Anne Arundel County League. The League of Women Voters itself was founded in 1920 after the 19th Amendment passed and women got the right to vote. They wanted an organization that could help women exercise that right to vote. And we want everybody to exercise their right to vote.
Well, I think you and I are on the same page there because everybody does need to get out and vote. And I always cringe every time an election rolls around and you see the turnout results and you're like, oh. And, you know, we've all heard the, you know, if you didn't vote, you have no right to complain. If you did vote, then you can complain. Not that complaining does any good there. But are you involved in, is the league involved in all elections? I mean, we here in Anne Arundel County, we've got this little sort of step weird kind of thing. I mean, we're in a national election right now, a presidential cycle. But next year, we've got a mayoral cycle. I mean, does the League of Women Voters of Anne Arundel County get involved in that as well?
Yes, we had, like, for the last mayoral election, we had a candidate forum where we had the two candidates come. We would ask them questions and they would answer them for the audience. One of our jobs is to do candidate forums for the local elections, you know, things that impact the elections that are Anne Arundel County. There's also the Maryland State League, which will do the state level elections. And we also, you know, send out our voter guides questions to all the candidates. Anne Arundel County will do, again, the local candidates. And the Maryland League will do the state candidates, and then the National League will do the national. And keep an eye on our webpage because we will be having voters forums for the general election.
Okay, that'll be exciting. Now, how does that work? You invite everybody in there to be able to come in, and again, as long as you have one from each party, you're good to go?
Yeah, that's right. We need to make sure that it's not a one-sided voters forum, so we do need to have a candidate from at least two parties to proceed with it.
Fantastic. Again, you can get all that information at lwvaacmd.org. Well, you guys are a nonpartisan organization.
Yes, that's correct.
So you are filled up with Democrats, Republicans, and independents, and non-affiliated, and everything else that makes us up.
Yes, we're open to any party. We don't focus on the political parties. We focus on issues, and we focus on getting people to vote.
Well, I mean, I know you don't endorse.
Yeah, we don't endorse any candidates. We ask, you know, it's like when we have a voters forum, we have to make sure that, you know, if we have a voters forum for the general election, if we don't have a candidate from each party, then we can't have the forum.
I like that you really take it out to that level. I mean,
yeah.
As opposed to, well, hey, we invited these guys and they never showed up.
Yeah,
and,
but it has to be a nonpartisan, you know, election of candidate.
Well, as you mentioned before, I mean, all elections are important. And certainly here in Annapolis, we've seen a couple of elections where when we say every vote matters, it really does.
Yes. Yeah.
On a national level, I don't know that it, you know, a single vote will make a difference. We'll ever see that. But certainly in local elections, it does. But certainly everybody needs to get out and find out about the candidates find out about their positions on issues. And that's really where you come in with your voter's guide that you guys produce every election cycle as well. And I know that we've linked to it at ionanapolis.net, but and you've given me a great hard copy of it here. But what? How does this come about? How do you do this?
So what we do is we set up the questions. Our league, we have a voter's guide team, and they come up with the questions, and they run them by the board, and we approve the questions to go out to all the candidates. And then the candidates can respond. It goes into the national vote411.org system. And then we also print out a print copy of it to give to people because not everybody can get online. So in the vote411 system, the Anne Arundel questions will go into the system through us. And then the state level questions will go in through the state. And then the national questions will go in through the national.
Okay, great. Well, and going back to what you said, that if like you can't have a forum if you don't have it, I mean, obviously these questionnaires are sent out to all the candidates,
yeah.
Okay? We've got like a crazy amount of people running for Congress District 3 for John Sarbanes' seat at this
yeah.
point. We've got, I think there's 23 Democrats, and I think there's probably like 9 Republicans. So, I mean, it's a crazy long list of people that are running. What if they don't respond to that? Do they get included in that, or do they?
We still include them, but we say that they have not responded.
That they didn't respond.
Yes.
I mean, how long does it take to put this together? I mean, this seems very extensive. I mean, because you talk about the environment, you talk about what their goals are, what they feel the areas need.
Yeah. No. It takes quite a while to get it together. You know, we start working on it well in advance, trying to get the questions up. You know, our team is amazing. Our voter's guide team was just really amazing. You know, we come up with the questions. They come up with the questions, and they get it out to the candidates. They put the thing into the vote411 system, and then you know, I think we started. Oh, I can't remember.
Well, no, I mean, I'm sure you're going to be starting next year.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right out with the election.
Like,
but now, how are you funded?
We're funded through memberships and donations.
I mean, when I think of charitable contributions, typically the League of Women Voters of Anne Arundel County doesn't sort of float to the top. I mean, you've got the SPCA and you've got the Lighthouse Shelter and everything else. So, you know, donations that you do and membership.
And memberships and, you know, yeah. And sometimes we have events and things like that.
Right. Well, your donation is LWVAACMD. .org, which doesn't flow off the tongue, but what I suggest doing is think of initials, League of Women Voters, LWVAACM,
Anne Arundel County,
MD for Maryland, yeah. .org. Another website that you probably want to know is elections.maryland.gov for Maryland voters here, because that's sort of like the all-encompassing thing. I mean, you have to find out how to register, when to register and everything else. And we do want to talk about some of the dates that are coming up. And I know the first one, I think, is coming up fairly soon, and that's May 7th, which is the last day to request a mail-in ballot. Now, Maryland has several different ways that you can vote. And you know, everybody's got an opinion on whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. But it is what it is. And we can vote by mail, which I guess has replaced the absentee ballot in the vernacular, where they will actually send a ballot to your home, and you can put it in an envelope and you can put it back in the mail, or you can drop it off into a box at various locations around the county. Or you can, you know, pretty much rip it up, tear it in the garbage and go vote in person. But there's a little bit of a process that you need to go through there because they have issued that. You can early vote. So you can go in advance of the primary day and vote in person. And then, of course, you've got the traditional old school, although I don't think they have any more curtains that you pull in, the big levers or anything anymore.
No, I remember those. My mom used to take me into the voting booth.
They were so cool, weren't they?
And they were really cool.
I mean, you sit there and you've got all the little flippy switches, and then the curtain opens, and it's like the Wizard of Oz.
Another deadline is it's not a deadline, but another important date is May 2nd, which is when early voting starts. And it goes through May 9th. And then, of course, Election Day is May 14th. With the mail-in, if you want a mail-in ballot, if you want them to mail it to you, the deadline is May 7th. And you can go online and register there. And if you go to our website, we have a page explaining all the ways you can get your request your mail-in ballot.
Right. And another part I was also reading on the site a little bit earlier this morning, but May 10th is you can actually request a ballot to be emailed to you, I guess, or sent through the thing. So that, and I don't know whether that's a PDF or something or other that.
I'm not sure how that one works.
But again, there are several different ways, which, you know, personally, I think it's probably good to allow voting to be a little bit more accessible to everybody, provided that you've got the checks and balances in there to make sure that everything is going as.
We all want fair voting and secure voting.
Well, it does. And I was an election judge for many years, and there are mistakes that are made because there's a human element to
this. Yes.
There can be mistakes made in a computer element to this if it's all run by computers.
Absolutely.
We've got a good, I think we have a good sense of checks and balances with the number of people that are handling the process.
Yeah.
I'm fairly confident of that. I mean, are there mistakes made? Absolutely. You know, is there this big conspiracy where, okay, we've this group of people to do influence? I'm not sure about that. The process here in Anne Arundel County, I think, is very good. They do some good training, and they've got backup support to be able to come in and help resolve issues at the time.
Yeah, and one of our members went to the demonstration of the voting system that Anne Arundel had on the, I think it was the 18th last week.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact date, but she was talking about how they're trying to make it kind of as foolproof for people as possible. So, like, you can feed the ballot in any which way and it will record it properly.
One question I've got for you, and we talked about this a little bit before we started to recording, Amanda, was that when we look at a ballot, a lot of times people go in there and they know the top two names or the top four names. Okay, so we are in a presidential election right now, so we are going to be faced with a presidential candidate in a primary, faced with two of them when we come around to the general, and may know a little bit about a senator, a little bit less maybe about a congressman, and what's this District 3 thing going on? And then by the time it gets down there into the school board, into the grit of what a ballot is, and some ballots are ridiculously long. I mean, they're page after page after page. How does somebody weed through the wheat and the chaff on that?
Well, I want to push again both our printed voter's guide and also the online version of it, which is vote411.org. The beautiful thing about the online vote411 system is you can actually compare candidates side by side with their answers to the questions that we've asked them. So like if you're looking at the school board ones, you can put two side by side, decide one is the like better match for your point of view, and then move another one into the one that you've moved out.
Right. So you can see whether they're wearing boxers or briefs and see which.
Yes, exactly.
It's like,
this is a boxer guy. Here's two boxer guys. Which one do I like better?
Right. That's a huge, huge resource for people.
Yes. It's really useful to be able to do that.
And you say that vote411.org.
Yeah.
.org. And that's the number 411.
Yes.
That's a national website. And with that, you just put in your address.
You put in your address and you get your candidates and you can, you can kind of select the ones you want as you go along so that you can get a list at the end. And then you can, you can take that with you. And once you've made those decisions, it's really useful.
That's awesome. And I will say that, too, that as you get down into the ballot, I think those are no less important positions in the way our government and our world works than the ones at the top. I mean, okay, the ones at the top, they get Secret Service protection and they get limousines. Okay, the ones at the bottom don't. They're equally important. You look at the judges.
I might even argue they're more important because they're affecting your day-to-day life far more than a lot of the national things are.
I've said that too. When you look at local elections, I talk about local elections being so important as well. Because let's face it, Trump and Biden—they don't care about the pothole in front of my house. I can confidently say that. But you know what? I think Mayor Buckley does, or if he doesn't, he should. And that's why they matter. I was somewhat surprised at the last county or two county elections ago, when the then county executive Hsu had, taken these positions on marijuana and abortion and some of these national issues, which we didn't really have. And as you say, that the lower on the ballot, they're affecting the day-to-day life.
Yeah.
This is, I need the pothole fixed. I need, you know, I want to argue against having a dispensary in our neighborhood or whatever it may be. That's where it starts.
That is where it starts. And that's, and if you aren't voting down ballot and you're not voting in your municipal elections, you're giving away all your power, because what are the checks and balances on these, on all these people is your vote keeping them in office. And so they're not doing what you want and you're not voting. They have no reason to listen to you. They know what the turnout numbers are for each of the wards, each of the county.
Sure.
Yeah. And, you know, they know those numbers. And if those numbers are really low, they know that you're not voting. So.
Well, you also look at, too, some of those are, and I hate to use the term obscure, but to the most common people, okay, you can look at the Register of Wills office. Okay, you never have anything to do with that until somebody dies.
Yeah.
So how many deaths is the average person working through in their lifetime, or their executor or something along those lines? Very few. So, you know, I may have an interaction with that office one time, maybe two times in my life. And there's a person that could be elected for what, and they could be doing a great job or they could be doing a horrible job, but we don't necessarily know. And it really hits home when you look at the judiciary and judges, and to a degree, the school board, which is a little bit, I would think, a little bit higher, because I mean, they're a little bit more public facing and you sort of see what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. But to be able to, you know, think about judges all being of the same group. I mean, you want a diverse bench. You want to have a reasonable bench that can listen to an argument and everything else. You want people that are handing out fair and, you know, reasonable punishments or sentences. And that's where it gets a little bit murky. And that's where certainly the voter's guide can come in.
Yes.
Very handy.
Yeah, we send these questions out to all the people on the ballot. And we print them as they cut. We print them in their own words verbatim. You know, we print them as they come into us. And that gives you the information to make an informed choice. You know, what is it that you want your neighborhood to look like? What is it you want your city to look like? What is it you want your county to look like? Who are the people who are going to move you in that direction?
And that's really what it is. I mean, you vote. I've always said vote for the candidate that is best for you.
Yeah.
Where do my values align? Where do my positions stand on, you know, whatever the issue du jour might be? And let's find out the person that's going to most align with it. I mean, yeah. So will I marry them? And you know,
during the 2000 election, I think it was, I took one of those online quizzes to like match you with a candidate.
Oh,
and this was during the primary, so it was like all the possible candidates. My highest match was 16% in views.
16%. Well, I mean, that was also pretty diluted too.
There was a lot of candidates, but in terms of like it was like policy views, views on certain issues, things like that. And I went through and I filled out what I thought on them. And my highest match was 16%. Does that mean I'm not going to go vote? No, because it's not. I was thinking that there's this metaphor on the web that voting, it's not like you're trying to marry the candidate. It's like a bus line. You get on the bus that takes you the closest point to your destination that is currently available on the bus line.
That's fair.
You know, and so, you know, are you going to take a bus that goes in the other direction? Or are you just going to stand where you are and not take any buses at all? You know, even though I only matched up 16% with one of the candidates, I still voted in that election because, I voted for the candidates that would move me closest to the things I did believe in.
Right. You didn't.
Yeah.
Within a hair of your destination, but you got further
close,
than where you're further.
But,
than
you know, I'm 16% closer or whatever. Right. You know.
But it's funny when I'd see 16, I'd be like, well, you ain't going to like any of these.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it does come down to.
Yeah. And that's a reason people give for not voting. It's like, oh, I don't like any of them. But look at their policies. Look at what they're actually saying to you. Look at what they want to do. And look at what they're saying they're going to do. Which of those things moves you closer to what you actually want?
It's a great way to look at it, because I've had several friends that won election. I can't remember which one it was, but it was absolutely disgusting. But the presidential choices on the top, and said, OK, I'm just not going to vote the presidential election. And I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, you can make that argument that, okay, you gave it to this guy or you gave it to that guy, or you lost it for this guy or lost it for that guy. I mean, you can argue that back and forth. You know, I see the frustration.
Yeah.
And you've got, in all levels, you know, from way, way down the ballot all the way to the top of the ballot, they're politicians. And, I hate to paint them with a bright, broad brush, but they are. I mean, they're listening to various different voices and different things to move their agendas, hopefully in line with yours.
And, you're not marrying them. You're just taking the route. Even if it's 1 inch in the direction you want to go, that's better than 1 inch in the direction you don't want to go.
True.
And so you really have to look at it like that. And you also really want to pay such close attention to the, like we said, to the down ballot races and to the municipal elections, because that's where your rubber is meeting the road. That's where your day-to-day life is most affected by those elections.
Well, you think about that, okay? How many of us could get on the phone and get a hold of President Biden on the phone today?
Not very many. Yeah.
Okay. There might be a few that could get a hold of Vice President Harris.
Yeah.
We all probably have a pretty good chance of getting in touch with Congressman Sarbanes or perhaps Senator Cardin.
Yeah.
Certainly, we could probably walk into the Starbucks here and run into the mayor of Annapolis. So, yeah. I mean, there's, that's where it is. You've really got to focus down on the local issues and figure out what's best for you.
Yes.
And, I will say, you talked about the metaphor about the bus getting on. You wouldn't take a bus backwards. And I guess we got to, be thankful that the League of Women Voters didn't get on that backwards bus and keep moving that forward. And here we are in 2020.
And what we're trying to do is give you the information to determine what directions are the buses going in. And then you get to pick what line you want to get on.
Do you guys take any positions on any issues?
Yes, we have what we have positions. We call them. These are positions we've taken. Positions in the League of Women Voters, they have to be backed up by studies and by consensus. So we don't just take on any old issue. We actually research the issue. We see what the state of the issue is in our county. And then we determine an issue statement, and you can read those on our website. We have positions on affordable housing, waste management, transportation, immigration, and planning and zoning, and a few others. But those have come with very careful study, and that's true throughout the whole league. When you join the Anne Arundel County League of Women Voters, you're also automatically a member of the Maryland League of Women Voters. And you're also a member of the National League of Women Voters. It's automatic. If you want to advocate on the state level, you could do that with the League of Maryland. With the state. We don't advocate on the state level or the national level. But I'm also on the Maryland board, and they do advocate on the state level. And then the National League will advocate on the national level.
How large is your group here in Anne Arundel County?
It's about 90 people.
90 people?
Yeah.
Just women?
Oh, no. Men can join as well. We are all about educating voters, and there's nothing that says only women can educate voters. Men, if you're interested in helping voters learn about their candidates, if you're interested in registering voters or any of those things, then you are welcome to join. So the League of Women Voters was originally put in place to enfranchise women and give them the information they needed to vote, because back in the 1920s, when it was founded. They just passed the 19th Amendment, and so it was developed to help women become informed and enfranchised voters.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But you don't have to be a woman to help everybody,
be
a voter. And we don't focus on now, we're just inclusive voting. We want everybody to vote.
You can find out membership information at your website, which again is lwvaacmd.org.
Yes.
But I'd argue that the most important thing right now, right today, is the voter guide.
Yes, I would agree. And it has, it has all your dates. Unfortunately, the registration deadline, if you are not a registered voter, was the 23rd. But Maryland is a same state registration state, and you can go on voting day and to your polling place, and you can register to vote there. You will need, if you're a first-time voter, you do need like a photo ID and something indicating
your address.
Visual indicating your address.
Like a BGE bill or,
or
a lease or something.
But you can still register the day you go to vote.
And I will say, too, for folks that go into the polls that all of a sudden there's an issue. There could be any number of issues that come up, and they're not bad issues necessarily, but just to understand that they may ask you to vote provisionally, which what that means is it's a paper ballot where you're hand marking different things out and they hold it off to the side just to make sure that there wasn't a duplicate ballot or there wasn't anything that was untoward that may have happened. And that's not a diss on you,
no.
Voter, or it's just the system is just another set of checks and balances. I know that if I request a mail-in ballot, I am marked as having voted, even though I may not have filled it out. I may have said, you know, I want to go to the poll and do it old school way, and I may have ripped it up. If I go into there, they're going to say, oh, well, you were issued a paper ballot. And I can tell them whatever story I want to tell them about what happened. The dog ate it. I threw it out. I did whatever it is. But they're going to have me vote provisionally, and they're going to hold that off to the side until they see that I did not mail in a paper ballot. And then once they realize I did not mail in the paper ballot, then that provisional ballot will be counted and added into the tallies there. And there's a number of different ways, reasons that that may happen. Maybe you have changed addresses many, many times
yeah.
within the state. That may just be a little bit of a red flag. Let's make sure that they're not voting in Montgomery County or in Crofton when you're voting here in Annapolis. And don't take anything out. Don't get all crabby on the election workers. They're the next thing closest to volunteers, and they do a thankless job.
They really do. When I lived in Illinois, I was a poll worker there, and it is a long, hard day. And yeah, they're just people like everybody else.
they are. And honestly, I mean, I don't, you know, mistakes will be made. I mean, there's an awful lot that goes into one day, or maybe now with early voting, you've got, you know, several weeks, but a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of checks and balances. If somebody has questions, I mean, you have to have a Republican and a Democrat both witnessing so you're not influencing. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes there.
Yeah.
Be kind to them. They do get paid a little bit. It's not nearly enough for a 12-hour day or a 15-hour day that they do. But I will say that when I was an election judge, between that and running a Cub Scout pack and doing the Camp Tomahawk up at Crownsville at the fairgrounds, two of the most rewarding jobs I've ever done, also two of the lowest paying jobs I've ever done. But it was a great opportunity to be able to see how the system works. And I left, you know, my years of doing that with a lot of confidence in the system that we do have. And we didn't have the scanning machines that we have. We had the touchscreen ones back when I was doing it. I'm confident. I'm not confident that it's 100%, but I'm not confident 100% that I, you know, can safely drive my car.
Yeah. Voting is pretty very secure. I mean, people work very hard. The volunteers and the election workers, they're there because they want to make sure that you have a secure and access to voting. They're there to make sure all that happens and that the system works the way it's intended to work.
Right. And, you know, as we start to close up here, Amanda, I would also say that money does not vote. Signs do not vote.
That's correct. And social media posts don't vote either.
That's
not a vote.
turn around and, you know, despite the fact that somebody may have signs in your neighborhood, despite the fact that somebody may, you know, thump their chest that they raised, you know, X thousands of dollars for this, that doesn't mean that that's the best person for the job. That doesn't mean that it's the best person for you for the job. Investigate the people. Voters Guide is a huge resource that we're so fortunate to have in Anne Arundel County. And you guys are everywhere, though, I guess.
I have a challenge for your listeners,
okay.
Which is to think about what you want your neighborhood to look like, not what you don't want in it. Like, you know, you hear a lot of people say, oh, I don't want crime in my neighborhood. But what do you want there? You might want people to be safe when they go out and, you know, go about their daily lives in your neighborhood. Phrase it that way. What do you want your neighborhood to look like? And then as you're looking at who to vote for, who gets you closest to that vision?
That's a great way to look at it, to sit there. And again, it goes back to the buses.
Yeah.
You know, it may not take you to your destination, but it'll take you two stops closer to it.
Yes, exactly.
And hopefully the next candidate will take you two stops closer and two stops closer.
And eventually you'll build the line all the way down to where you want to be.
Sure.
It may take a while, you know, but you can get there. It just may not be immediate. It's not like you don't have a voting Uber to take you from where you are to where you want to go. Voting just, you know, you just have to go, keep going towards what you want and see who brings you closest to that vision.
Vote411.org is a website that you need to know. You need to also know lwvaacmd.org, and I'll put all these in the show notes. And for the state official stuff, elections.maryland.gov would be the third website that are absolutely critical. Yes. And again, we're here in 2024. We're looking at a presidential election in November. I think I listened to a podcast and said we're like 182 days away from the general election or something like that. We do have a primary on May 14th. Get out there, exercise your right to vote. We all got it when we were 18 years old. By not using it, we're just letting other people's agendas take over this for something that's not what we want.
Yeah.
It's a powerful, powerful right that we have.
Yes. And I want everybody to be exercising it.
Again, the dates you need to know. May 7th will be the last day to request a mail-in ballot. May 2nd to 9th is early voting. And the polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the week. May 10th is the last day to request a ballot to be sent to you electronically.
May 7th. Oh, electronically.
Electronically. Yeah. May 7th is the one to have it mailed to you.
Yeah.
Again, those need to be postmarked by no later, if you're mailing it back in, no later than May 14th.
Yeah.
And you can drop it off up till 8 o'clock at any of the ballot boxes on election day, their primary day. And get out and vote. And don't just do it in the primary.
Every single election is the ideal.
One other thing, and Maryland's a little bit odd, and I just somewhat disagree with this, but in the primary, except for a few offices which are considered nonpartisan, like the school board and the judges, it is what they call a closed election. So if you are an independent voter or unaffiliated, you're not going to see, when you go in to vote, you will see just the school board. You're not going to see congresspeople. You're not going to see presidential choices. You're not going to see senatorial choices. You will see them once they get through the primary in the general election. So don't freak out if you like, hey, where's my presidential candidate? How come I can't vote for them? Because you have not affiliated with one of the two major parties, Republican or Democrat. And hopefully that'll change.
Yes. Open primaries and ranked choice voting are ways of kind of making like elections more inclusive because there are disenfranchised voters for the primaries. If you have not picked a party or you don't want to pick a party, then some primaries, there's nothing to vote for.
Well, you've also got the issue, too, that, you know, the two parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, I mean, there's an awful lot of money that is backing them via PACs, via the federal things and everything else. And for the person that has the heart of gold that really wants to serve their community, that is, you know, probably the best choice for an office, if they are independent, if they, you know, there's not a whole lot of pathway to get into that, and they're going against this, you know, quote unquote machine, that's hard to overcome. And, you know, so I would encourage if Anne Arundel County can move into the ranked voting or the open primaries would be.
Well, we can't because it's not
state.
It's a state issue, and one of Maryland League's positions is to make primaries more inclusive, make voting in general more inclusive. If we would support things like ranked choice voting and open primaries, but Anne Arundel County itself can't do a whole lot. Now, people who live in the city of Annapolis may want to take advantage of the fact that the Annapolis Board of Elections has sent out several surveys about what you think of elections and things like ranked choice voting. I don't know if they can do anything about open primaries, but I'm not sure. But they have a whole bunch of questions. They have sent out several surveys. We've sent them on to our Annapolis residents and to our members to say, hey, if you know Annapolis residents, encourage them to take this survey.
Awesome. Amanda Subba-Rao, thank you for joining me this morning out here outside of Starbucks. But more importantly, thank you for everything that you, your team, and the League of Women Voters of Anne Arundel County have done to make the election as, you know, to cut through the wheat and the chaff and figure out, you know, here's what you're voting on. And again, I'd recommend anybody take a look at the voter's guide online. You can compare them side by side at vote411.org, or you can download a PDF of the document that I'm holding in my hands here. You can get that at lwvaacmd.org and get out and vote.
Yes, get out and vote every election.
This has been a bonus podcast from Eye on Annapolis. Please visit us at eyeonannapolis.net. Follow us on Facebook at All Annapolis and on Twitter at Eye on Annapolis. And if you haven't subscribed to the Daily News Brief podcast, go for it. And all of your local news will be delivered to your phone, tablet, or smart device by 6 a.m. every Monday through Friday.